Jeannie Flavelle's Hot Commodity Podcast Series. Empowering clients with commercial intelligence, supply chain expertise, and risk management solutions.
Good afternoon, everybody. My name is Mike Coughlin, President and CEO of McKinney Flavelle, and today is April 26, 2024, and welcome to our Hot Commodity Podcast Series. I'm joined today by Craig Ruffalo, Vice President of McKinney Flavelle. Hello, Craig. How are you?
Hey, Mike. How are you? And how's everybody out there on this fine Friday?
Oh, my gosh. It's great. I'm doing great.
Good.
The week is over, and it's been a crazy one. I mean, as everybody knows out there, we had our spring seminar last week. And for those that didn't attend, I'll tell you what.
Oh, you missed out.
You missed out. But also, you know what? We're going to have those video presentations available for purchase if you want. If you already attended, you're going to have access to them. Get ready for that pretty soon here.
I love it. That's awesome. Yeah.
And you know what? I'm going to move over to a webinar that we have. Yes, nice. You're going to get a few of them. I have one more for you, Craig.
Okay. I'll be all ears.
A day after my birthday, we're having a dairy webinar on May 22nd with none other than Jeffrey Rosinski, the consultant to the stars.
That's absolutely who he is. I mean, that's the best description ever.
Yes. Between dairy and cocoa, I got a can to the guy. He's it's a tough road. Yeah, okay. You ready for my last one?
Yeah.
You are. The audience is. Because you know what, Craig, I love about spring? I love flowers.
Okay.
I love the Masters.
Oh.
I love that it's your birthday in April.
Yeah. Yeah.
I love that I have spring break.
Yes.
I also love the terrible picks by the Raiders in the NFL draft every year.
Oh, that hurts.
And then, last but not least, I love talking about planting progress.
Nicely transitioned. I like it.
So let's talk about planting progress. It's a very important time. I mean, obviously, when you look at corn and soybeans and sugar, this is a very crucial time. And why don't we just dive right into it? Let's start with corn and soybeans, and then let's wrap it up with sugar. And maybe we'll touch a little bit about negotiations that are happening right now.
So, well, I think part of the tie-in on the negotiation happens to be with what's going on the planting's progress for sugar beets, for sure. But, you know, the grains complex this time of year, we start focusing on whether or not we're going to make a crop. So the markets start creating a little more volatility on futures for soy and corn, and we're all battling for acres. You know, we got the March 30 planting intentions report that would suggest that corn acres are going to be suffering this year and being transitioned to other products. So it would behoove the farmer to try to get the crop in, you know, on time. And on time is any time between now and, say, the middle towards the end of May. And as of the report that came out earlier this week, we're just ahead of the five-year average at 12% planted. And you got to dig a little deeper, though, Mike, and not just say, oh, well, that's good. That seems like we're on pace to at least get what we would anticipate as far as total acres in the ground and in a timely manner. It's also where, because, you know, you've got about 15 to 16 states that plant corn for the majority of the plantings. But, you know, maybe a handful of those are really the dominant states where corn is grown. And, you know, they usually start with the letter I in them, Illinois, Iowa, Indiana, for example. And the good news is it seems like the Western Corn Belt, where Illinois and Iowa would fall, were ahead of progress in a decent manner. You know, Illinois is about 11% planted and Iowa is about 13%. So a little ahead of the five-year average. Whereas the Eastern Corn Belt, where they've had some weather issues and it's kind of delayed some plantings. Indiana's a little bit behind the five-year average at only 2% planted as of this last Monday's report. So it means what? It means that the farmer is still needing to get into the fields and prep the fields in the Eastern Corn Belt. So they might be a little delay on getting the crop in, but nothing to worry about or get overly excited about at this time. And with soybeans, we're in a similar situation. We're 8% planted in total versus a 4% five-year average. The Western belt seemingly is advancing quicker than the Eastern belt, again, all due to weather. So Illinois is 11% planted, Iowa is 8%, and Indiana, again, similar to corn, is at 2%. So we don't see this to be overly discouraging. It just means, again, that some of the bigger planning areas need to have some attention before we get fully invested in what we're going to see as far as the corn bean crops. But obviously, as we progress over the next few weeks, we need to see some of these numbers start jumping up, particularly in the eastern, I'll call it corn belt, but grain belt.
Okay. Moving on to soybeans.
Yeah. So on the soybeans, again, 8% versus 4% planted. Illinois 11 versus 6% five-year average. Iowa at 8 versus 2%. Okay. The eastern belt were, again, similarly in the corn side, as I mentioned, that Indiana and so, a few of the others, Pennsylvania, are behind. Michigan are all behind on plantings. So
okay.
we will see if it impacts any of the farmers' decisions moving forward on if they stick with the soybeans that they had suggested or not. My gut tells me they will. We may pick up a 500,000 acres on corn, say, by the June report, but we have a little ways to go before we get to see what the farmer actually have planted we look back. But we need some progress starting in the next couple of weeks on both beans and corn in the eastern corn belt.
All right. Shall we shift over to sugar?
Yeah, let's do that.
Yeah. I was just going to say, everybody knows out there that obviously sugar beets and plantings, and you've talked a lot about the timing of it. Obviously, things need to thaw out. And getting those beets in the ground is really important, whether they're going to be early on time or late.
Right.
But also you've talked about, I think it's important to mention that with the type of varieties, seed varieties and the farming practices, to kind of loop it back to our spring market seminar.
Right.
You know, if there are delays, they can catch up pretty good.
Yeah, very true.
Corn and soybeans too. But
yeah.
But I'd start with that and let's dive into the different regions and what we're seeing and what your expectation is.
To tie it back to the spring seminar, Mike, you know, technology is advancing in a lot of ways, and agriculture specifically. You know, from anything from GPS situationally, so that the farmer on their when they're out there planting or they're doing any kind of maintenance on their fields can get subsoil moisture levels. They can get weed abatement ideas, wind directions. They can do a lot of different things with technology. They can even get robotic equipment out there and start looking at this in a way that they never have before. And then you mentioned it, seed varietal. And that's a very critical thing for specifically in sugar beets, because the types of diseases that these beets have to compete against are different in different growing regions around the country. So what the farmer in Michigan is battling with might not necessarily be the same thing as the farmer in Iowa, or excuse me, in Idaho or in North Dakota, for example. So they do have to have some different seed varietals available to them that will assist them in what they need to try to maximize yields on the acreage base that we do farm sugar beets. Similar statement, I would say, to sugar beet planting progress as to, say, what we just talked about in the grain side. As you go from west to east, you actually see some progression. And then as you hit the Red River Valley, it seems to be exactly where we're peaking in our planting. And then as you move eastbound, which is going pretty much to Michigan, you're seeing a little bit of a delay in the progress comparatively to a five-year average. So just for an example, Minnesota and North Dakota, which had a pretty mild winter in their means, I wouldn't say it's mild because I live in California, but they considered it mild, and they were already in the ground planting and prepping for plantings almost a month ago. And so Minnesota is about 30% planted versus a 4% average on 5 years. And North Dakota is about 17% planted versus 2% on the 5 year average. Now, if you take those two states alone, you're talking about probably 40% of the planted acres base for all sugar beets.
Wow.
The other two states that were reported were Idaho and Michigan, both slightly behind based upon the reporting. Idaho at just under 40% versus just over 60% normal. Michigan at 18 versus 35 on the five-year average. Now, all of this is variable. And the good news, as you mentioned, they can get the beets in the ground within a matter of days. It was told to me that a farmer could probably, if you looked at the entirety of the crop, they could plant this million acres in probably 10 to 12 days if given the proper weather.
Wow.
So I'm not panicked by any stretch as far as this goes. If the crop gets in the ground at this time, and let's just make an example of, say, by the middle or first full week of May, next week or the week after, we might see sugar beets being pulled out of the ground for this 24-25 crop by early September, even late August, depending upon the sugar content and the growing conditions, which means that there's going to be some sugar production out of these beets before the crop year is over for the 23-24 crop. And so for a production adjustment by U.S. Department of Agriculture, they would actually put any sugar beet production coming off of the beets that are being planted now, if it's harvested and processed before Sep 30, they'll count that production in the current year. And that would be somewhat of an interesting dynamic, because that's the typical time of the year where we're tightest sugar availability, because we've gone through slice for the beets. Raw sugar production has been pretty much done, and imports are pretty much over by, say, August, maybe later August, early mm-hmm. September. So that would be a very timely thing to re-enter some sugar production into the mix. So I think that all of this is going to yet to be played out, but does have an impact on psychological behavior by a seller.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, I think we've all witnessed, and some of the reasons why we probably have said, "Whew, good week to be done, it's over." It's been a tough one, or a busy one, is because contracting picked up big time for sugar over the last week plus. I'm sure you've been on the phone quite a bit chatting away.
Yep.
I know I have. I know others in our organization in our commodity meeting yesterday mentioned how they were busy. So I think we're going to have a large percent of the sugar contracting done by the end of next week as a percent of total industrial sugar sales.
Excellent. Yeah, no, it's definitely, you can feel it getting closer. Some have already pulled the trigger. You know, there's a lot of factors that go into that. So yeah, I agree. I think that a lot of progress will be made in the next week or two.
Yeah, I think people need to make sure that they're paying attention to the suppliers and answering questions on certain, you know, feedback that they need to provide and be prepared.
Okay, great. Is there anything else on the planning progress for the beet side you want to talk about? Maybe some of your forecasts on sugars or sugar content? I know it's early. I'm not going to hold you to it.
Yeah, don't hold me to it. But with traditionally, early plantings create larger crops. Now, that's all dependent on weather, and who knows what the weather is going to be like. We've had a lot of discussion over the last month and a half of the shifting of weather patterns from an El Nino to a La Nina weather pattern, and certainly could impact the way that we see sugar beets and anything grown in the greater plains area. So Colorado, Nebraska could be a little bit questionable for some of the beet growth. But generally speaking, if you get the crop in the ground by the first week of May, second week of May, you're going to look to have an opportunity to have a fairly sizable sugar crop. So my early prediction, if we do get what I think will be an early crop in the ground, will be about 5.25 would be the beet production. I don't think it'll jump off the page unless it's ideal growing conditions. I suspect somewhere we'll find a little bit of a hiccup during the growing pattern and growing season. So got to take that into consideration. That would be about 100,000 ton increase, say, to the current crop. Now, the 5.25 is a net number. So if they get some early production, you would add that to that number, but you would then put that into the current year crop of the 5.1 whatever number I think it's 5.15 we're at. So anyway, that's what I predict. And I think that the sugar industry knows it. I think the sellers on the beet side know that they're probably in for a fairly sizable crop come this fall.
Excellent. All right. We're going to wrap this one up. As I always like to say, live with an attitude of gratitude. I'm going to add a new one here, Craig. And I'm going to say, you know, because of everything in life is so crazy, always remember that you can't control everything that happens, but you can control how you react to them. I like that one. You like that one, don't you?
I do like that one.
It's a good one to always remember.
Give yourself a good reminder of that. Yep.
There you go. So do something fun this weekend. Enjoy your family and friends. And until our next podcast, take care, everybody.
That concludes this podcast episode. For expanded commentary and more detailed information, log on to McKinney Favelle's IQ Ingredient Intelligence platform and listen to our Market Insights podcast. If you're not a subscriber, visit McKinney-Favelle.com for more information. And as always, follow us on YouTube, LinkedIn, Facebook, and Twitter.